I have been a very brutal timekeeper today, and I suddenly feel bad about it. Please don't be too hard on me. Hi. So, my name is Deborah Udoh, and I have flown a couple of hours here from Nigeria to give this talk today. So I left my house at 5 a.m. yesterday and arrived immigration, say, 7 a.m., so do the math. I am a nurse, midwife, and public health practitioner from Nigeria, but I'm also community manager for an organization called OLS, where we teach people how to do open research. And just recently, I have also become an SSI fellow, and part of what I'll be telling you now is what I'll be doing as my fellowship project. So, imagine a world where research was actually inclusive and accessible to everyone. And if you're seated here in this room, it means that you care about openness and that in some ways you're actually working towards making openness a reality. But we tend to miss a critical step when we skip over the basics and we go straight to teaching people how to do reproducibility, teaching them how to make their software open. But how do we teach people to do open research when they don't even know what research is? So that's the fundamental step that my project hopes to cover, hence the Thought Bubble Research 101. And this is called Pre-Seeds. Pre-Seeds is a beginner crash course and is designed to equip aspiring researchers, the people who are often left out of the conversation. And the project is going to give them all the skills, the knowledge, the confidence that they need to even start their journey to get to a point where they now decide whether they want to do it in the open or not. This also serves the larger RSC or research software engineering community by becoming that bridge where RSCs who have come from non-academic or non-research oriented backgrounds get a better idea of what research actually is. This is a modular, self-paced course, meaning you can take it on your own, but it can also be delivered via workshops, and these are the pillars on which the project is built: open education, research skills, community building, and accessibility. I love this meme. Show of hands if you feel like your master's or PhD program equipped you enough with foundational research skills. Yeah, so this is the depiction of that experience. And that's why Pre-Seeds is very necessary, but don't take my word for it. We did a survey, my team and I, in Africa, and for some people spread across different parts of the globe, most of whom are either what's the word for that, refugees, right? Where are the words when I need them? So these next couple of slides will show you demographic data from these individuals. This is for age. Most of them were between the ages of 18 to 24, and then the other part is 25 to 34, and I will stop reading it out loud because I believe you've seen that already. Gender distribution was mostly female, and with a lot of people neither identifying as non-binary and with few people preferring not to ascribe a particular gender, there's some lessons in there, and it does represent something about Africa, which I do not have the time to unpack for now. For the demographics, most of the respondents were Africans and some from Asia, Europe, North America. And it begins to get very interesting really soon. So, for the people who identified as being underrepresented in research, part of what they pointed out as the major factor they felt underrepresented was the socioeconomic backgrounds and then geographical location where they were in the world, their race, ethnicity, disability, gender, and then nothing. For our respondents, this shows the level of exposure to research. Some of them have never ever been involved in research. Some of them have done small scale research, and then the others have done intermediate work. This is my favorite one. So challenges faced in the research journey. Sometimes when we talk about pre-seeds, it's like, why do we even need a course that teaches the foundational things about research? Well, these are the challenges that people all over the world actually face when it comes to getting access to research education. Some of them have limited knowledge of the software tools. Some lack access to affordable research training, something taken for granted mostly. Difficulty understanding the research concepts, no access to mentors, limited availability of programs in my region, lack of confidence to participate in research discussions, language or cultural barriers, feeling excluded or unsupported due to their backgrounds. Have you ever felt that research training programs are not tailored to your needs? These were the responses that we got. And I must mention that the data is available at any point. If I have to skip over in my 10-minute talk, please forgive me. And so the barriers to accessing formal research training: lack of awareness, a high cost of program, limited opportunities, inflexible scheduling, language or cultural barriers, feeling excluded, nothing. And of course, a lot of people want to pilot pre-seeds. Hopefully, we can make that come true for the 65.9% of people. So who is pre-seeds for after much ado? Well, Maria, for instance, 34, a high school biology teacher in Madrid, Spain, very passionate about nature and wants to collect biodiversity data, collecting plant species. But the problem lies in the fact that Maria has no formal research training, yet she's very eager to make this meaningful and sound data. There's also Tajuddin, 24-year-old biochemistry graduate from Kano, Nigeria, has just started a PhD program, and like some of you felt in when you started your PhD program, Tajuddin wants to embrace open science principles from the beginning, but finds that that transition from what is taught in class and the practical thing that happens in the real world is quite different. And then there's Claire, 22, computer science undergraduate at Manchester University, UK, interested in research software engineering, but has no formal exposure to open practices, feels lost when the professor mentions FAIR principles. These are personas for the pre-seeds course. And if you could get anything from this, well, pre-seeds is for everyone, really. This is a timeline overview of our project. For the first to third month, we plan to be part of the Carpentries Collaborative Lesson Development Training. If you're someone who is passionate about open education, definitely recommend that. And then within the 4 to 6 months, we plan to develop the first module, pilot, and then revise that module and future modules based on the data we collect from the pilot workshop. And then we plan to expand our reach as well and build a larger community. And finally, in the 11th to 12th months, we plan to set down some frameworks that will help us to test the effectiveness of this course. But we need you. And for some reason, my QR code has refused to display. It didn't display there either. Oh well, I'm standing here. You can always come get the link or just mail me. So we need people who are familiar with curriculum developments to assist us. And we also need people who know to write grants to help us apply for grants, because we cannot do this without resources. Oh look, there's something, but it's not the QR code. And we also need funding. So if you've either got the funds to support us or know people who've got the funds, it would be lovely to chat with you afterwards. And we also want partners who either want this course delivered at their institutions, or they know people who would particularly need this course, which is everybody, like we've established. Please get in touch with us. And we also need platforms to host this course. beyond hosting it on the Carpentries Incubator, we would also need other places where this course would lie, because if no one sees this course, if no one knows about it, then all our effort has been wasted. And finally, we would like you to become the biggest fangirls and fanboys of our course and just tell everybody you know. And this is the team of people currently working on this project. I could not do this without them. This person here, Tosan, was up all night until 4 a.m. this morning putting together the visualization you saw earlier. So thank you, Tosan. And if you would like your face to be displayed somewhere around here next time I present Precedes, please come and have a chat with me. And these are our supporters. I'm particular about Peter Barron. That was the first person who ever donated to Precedes and single-handedly has made the biggest donation to Precedes so far. So thank you, Peter. And the Society of RSC, I also thank my organization, OLS, for always cheering me on and believing in the dream of Precedes. I have my hoodie, but I haven't worn it. I've worn First Step instead. The SSI for giving me an opportunity to be their fellow, and the Carpentries for all their support. Oh, thank you very much for listening to me, and I will take questions at this point. So that's a really good question, and I'm going to repeat it for those online. So the question is this available somewhere, either on GitHub or Zenodo? Yes, it is. It's available on GitHub, and the QR code that refused to load was a link to the GitHub repository and the website as well. So yes, it's available online. Thank you. Yes. Hi. Thank you. Yeah.
So I was wondering a little bit of where do you start from and where do you want to go?
Thank you so much. So the question is this going to start from the beginning, or would it be based on other materials that exist currently? So it's actually two yeses. Yes to it's going to start from the beginning, and also yes to it's going to be based on other materials. So we're taking those materials and adapting them to make a fresh course that's more basic that anyone can understand. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I promise I have the QR code. Thank you. Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Jim.